had been retrieved her journal, and there on page 68, she tried again to cope. No matter how far I run from John, he's always there. His face, his terrible face, he's with me always. His ruins are all around me. The architecture of my world, he's so completely destroyed. The joy of my life before feels like a long forgotten dream. There is no quiet pasture for me. I have no resting place. He haunts me. If in life there was justice, a millstone would hang from his neck, dragging him to the bottom of the deep. Instead, I'm the one who is tormented. I'm the one who has stumbled into the abyss of depression. On the bus today, on the way to work, in the eyes of a complete stranger, John appeared, and I shrunk like a toddler when first meeting a newcomer. He's turned a 34-year-old woman into a pathetic little child. And yet that's all I wish for on days like this, to just be a child again, to shrink, to become invisible. And no matter how much time passes, Andrew will never fully understand. It's been 7 months, but it could be 7 years, and he'd still never truly get it. It's amazing. He's such an incredible thinker. He can sit idle for hours, processing every minute detail of his day, and yet somehow he still can't puzzle me out. He thinks and tells me that things are different now that I'm with him, that I should just try to be happy, even if I can't forget what came before. He says that I need to forgive. I need to let go. I need to move on. For by not forgiving, I'm only revisiting that pain back upon myself, repeating the cycle. And while I know he's just saying what he thinks is best, and while I admit there is some truth to his words, in the end, he just doesn't get it. He doesn't get me. And how would he? He's been fine all of his life. He's been free all of his life. He's never had someone literally lord over him, overpower him, emotionally and physically abuse him. How can he ever know what it's like for me, what it was like for me? And if he can't, how can we ever really know each other? No, he would need to be abused and held captive himself to ever know what it's truly like. Maybe then I should just be with someone else, someone who's as screwed up as me. And isn't that just sad? My thoughts are a mess, I'm a mess, and I'm only going to make things with Andrew a mess. I love him. I do. But I also should leave him. That would vacant, for God has deserted me. My God has widowed me. I was once God's princess, but now I'm just a vassal of degradation. But Mom, she tried to tell me that all is not lost, that somewhere in all of this, God still has a plan for me. Really? God has a plan for me, Mom? Was God's plan made manifest when John called me his whore? When he beat? When he raped me? Was that God's plan, Mom? Where was God then? Just watching somewhere in the clouds, like some sort of pervert of divine voyeur? And what was that that you said to me the other night, that he actually willed this to happen? Just so he could then work through me, so to help others who have suffered as I have. So in the end, it's all about his glory, right? I don't want to glorify him, Mom. I don't want to help others. I've helped others all of my life, and look where it's gotten me: used, taken advantage of, and discarded like Sunday's trash. No, I'm the one who now needs help, and who is going to help me? Well, God. Andrew? Or will all of you just hide behind your pipe? At the very least, Dad hasn't been so blatantly offensive. But in the end, he's just as clueless. He actually read a passage out of Scripture the other day over the phone, though I certainly didn't ask for it. He said that it would help me in my relationship with Andrew, that it would help me better understand his intentions, and in turn offered me the aid I've been so convinced was absent. But the passage that he read made absolutely no sense. In fact, it was awful. It was the antithesis of helpful. It was something out of Luke. Some horrible story about slaves. He kept telling me that I just wasn't understanding what Jesus was actually saying, but eventually I cut him off. I didn't want to hear anymore. How can he think that someone like me would want to hear and listen to a parable about a slave whose sole purpose was to put on an apron, get in the kitchen, and serve others? My virgin body was ravaged by the lust of a beast just to serve him, and I'm now a slave to that singular moment in time. What was the story that they taught us in high school? The allegory of the cave by Plato? Well, now I'm the one who's walking in circles. I'm the one who's chained, captive, like a prisoner, unwilling and unable to face the bright light of life. And so I live in the shadows. And really, that's where I belong, in the shadows. And so here on page 70, I must finish this chapter, because it's not right or fair to him to be with someone so like this, to be with someone so like me. I have to tell Andrew that it's over, and I have to do it tonight. There in a windowless office on a Friday in the summer, Andrew worked on an email to an old friend whom he had recently reconnected with. Its title, Sarah Part 2. It read, "If only I could just show Sarah how much she means to me. If I could just convince her that rebirth is in fact possible, and that through Christ, her past is forever confined to the catacombs. If only." Sarah is so much more than she gives herself credit for. But it's as if the heaviness of her memory has permanently anchored her soul beneath the tide. Maybe she's right. Perhaps it's just easier for me to observe hope, to see the good in others, the light in others, the light in her. She often whispers at night that I'll never truly understand her pain. pain because I've only ever known grace. Grace from my parents, grace from God, grace from the situation and the community to which I was born. And to all of that, I admit, it is true. As you well know, I was given such a large inheritance that I've never known need. At age 20, I was so well endowed, I was able to leave college, travel, and freely drift from here and there without care. ask all